Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Every year, at least 1 million people in the U.S. develop shingles. It's a burning, blistering rash that generally lasts for several weeks. And a few years ago, I was one of those people, and I most certainly wouldn't want to go through it again. Yet despite how painful shingles can be, a relatively small percentage of the population has received the shingles vaccine. Insurance covers the cost if you're over 60 years old, but for everyone else, it can cost up to $200. Even given that expense, would you be more willing to pay for the vaccine if you knew you were at risk, albeit a small risk, of developing an even worse affliction known as postherpetic neuralgia? Our next guest, Carrie Goldberg, describes that as extended-release shingles. Carrie is the co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. She recently had her own shingles scare and wrote about it in her latest post, and she joins me in the studio. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Sasha.
And Carrie, tell us about your scare and what went through your mind when you thought you may have shingles.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you have some first-person contribution to this topic. What happened to me was I was going through a few hours of sort of classic end of vacation stress. Like, we needed to catch a plane, we were late, we took the wrong turn off for the airport, we had forgotten the wallet. And so I sat on this plane fuming for hours. And when I got off the plane, I found that I had this sort of odd rash developing on the left side of my torso. And I immediately thought, oh, geez, I just so hope this isn't shingles that came from this bout of stress.
Because a key signature element of shingles is just being on one side of the body.
Right, or the face.
Exactly.
That's right. So I was very afraid. And the reason I was particularly afraid was not shingles itself, but the fact that there is this relatively common, not exceedingly rare complication of shingles, which is called postherpetic neuralgia, as you mentioned. And the worst thing about it is that it's horrible pain like shingles itself. But instead of shingles, which usually lasts for at most a few weeks, postherpetic neuralgia can go on for months or even, in horrible cases, years. And it can really ruin lives. It's really horrible.
And for all our listeners concerned about your health, we should say that in the end, you didn't end up having shingles. So that's the good news.
Yes, I was thrilled at one point to realize that maybe it was just bed bugs, which made me realize that I really, really am scared of shingles.
So to talk about the longer lasting effects, so the post effects of shingles, I want to introduce Dr. Rafael Harpaz. He's an epidemiologist with the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, and he has studied shingles for more than a decade. Dr. Harpaz, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
So would you tell us more about postherpetic neuralgia? What is it? How bad is it? What's the risk of getting it?
Postherpetic neuralgia is when the pain of shingles persists for varying lengths of time after the rash ends. Typically, we say it's 90 days of pain or longer. We're not really sure exactly what causes postherpetic neuralgia. We think that it's inflammation involving the nerve cells that are affected by the zoster, but it's really not certain.
The zoster are basically sort of the virus that caused the shingles.
Exactly, which is actually the chickenpox virus. But in any event, the pain persists for weeks. It can persist even for months or years. And in some settings, it could be life-shattering. It could really disrupt people's lives in a dramatic kind of way. Depression is very common. In really extreme cases, there have been suicides associated with postherpetic neuralgia, but those are quite rare. It's also very hard to treat it. There are a whole variety of different kinds of medications which are used in order to treat it, but they are variably effective, and often they're not effective at all, which makes the vaccine that much more important.
And Sasha, I spoke with a Massachusetts General Hospital specialist, Ann Louise Oaklander, and she said that if you're 70 or older and get shingles, your chances of getting postherpetic neuralgia are up at about 50%. So it really very much rises with age.
And so, Dr. Harpaz, could you tell us more about the shingles vaccine in terms of how much it reduces your chances of contracting postherpetic neuralgia?
Shingles vaccine prevents about 50% of all shingles cases, but the good news is that it's increasingly effective at preventing the most extreme forms of postherpetic neuralgia. So it's a 65% effective at preventing pain that lasts for 90 days or more, but it's actually 75 to 80% effective at preventing pain that is really extreme and lasts for, say, 6 months. So the worse the postherpetic neuralgia, the more likely it's going to be prevented by the vaccine.
And Dr. Harpaz, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that within the medical community, the shingles vaccine is still considered relatively new and medical researchers are still studying its effects. Would you tell us what we do know, including whether there are side effects to the shingles vaccine?
The vaccine seems to be quite safe. It's been studied in a number of settings, both in clinical trials and after the vaccine was licensed. And the most common side effect is pain at the local site of the vaccine, which might last for a couple of days and is self-limited. Aside from that, it doesn't seem to be any real side effects associated with the vaccine that we've detected.
As we mentioned, insurance only covers the vaccine for people over age 60. Why is that?
The vaccine has been licensed for persons 50 and older. At the time of that license, there were severe shortages in the vaccine. The manufacturer wasn't able to make enough vaccine. And so when it turned out that the vaccine was in short supply, the CDC considered the options and decided that it would not be prudent to recommend it for persons 50 to 59 when we really wanted to make sure that there was enough vaccine to go around for persons who were older than that. So as a result of that, the vaccine wasn't recommended by the Centers for Disease Control, and most physicians and professional organizations and most insurance companies tie their coverage of the vaccine to the CDC recommendations.
And Sasha, actually, this is part of why I wrote about the shingles vaccine, because it's clearly medically legitimate going down to age 50, if not lower. But we tend to have to pay for it out of pocket, and it's pricey, as it's $185 at Costco. It can go even higher. And so it becomes this very interesting personal medical decision about basically how much do you fear shingles and the potential complications, and how much are you willing to pay in order to lower your chances of getting this scary disease?
And in fact, I'm sure, Carrie, that your blog post has prompted many people to go out and book appointments for a vaccine. Have you decided that you want to get one now that you've had this shingles scare?
Actually, I did. I had been on the fence for quite a while. I should also note that the supply problems are over, that in fact the vaccine is in very ample supply right now, and they're even advertising it a lot on TV and outside drugstores. And so it's quite available if you want to get it. And I must say that that shingles scare sort of pushed me over the edge. I realized that if I would be happy to get bed bugs, this is probably something that I should do. And there has been some interesting feedback on Common Health after I wrote this post saying, what are you, working for the drug company or something? And actually, I would say, I don't think the drug company is advertising the vaccine as well as they could, because they're talking only about shingles and not so much about the potential much longer lasting complications.
So, Dr. Harpaz, if someone gets the shingles vaccine, how long does that protective quality last?
Well, that's a great question, and that's kind of a big unknown, because when you get vaccinated, whether it's at the age of 60, when life expectancy is over 20 years, or certainly if you got vaccinated at the age of 50, where your life expectancy is more than 30 years, then you really want a vaccine to last. There is some preliminary indication that it doesn't last that long, but we're anxious to look at the data more carefully to see. The most important part of that is, how well does it prevent the really severe cases that Carrie is so concerned about, the real severe postherpetic neuralgia cases.
Carrie and Dr. Harpaz, thanks to both of you.
Welcome.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Rafael Harpaz is an epidemiologist at the CDC, and Carrie Goldberg is co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. There's a link to her post at our website, radioboston.org. And by the way, as I mentioned, I had shingles a few years ago, and I learned the hard way that if you don't start antiviral medications quickly, then you have to just let the rash run its course. I didn't see my doctor right away because at first I thought I had poison ivy, and by the time I did go to the doctor, it was too late for me to take any meds. That meant I had to deal with the burning and blistering till the rash went away on its own. So if you think there's any chance you have shingles, see a doctor immediately.